are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When it comes to social issues, the church can either be a silent observer or a passionate advocate. So this is a spoiler alert. The second option is way more fun, right? For them being a passionate advocate there. So let's dive into how the church can champion social justice, speaking out against inequality and standing up for those whose voices often go unheard. We're joined on the line by Pastor Chinyama, who's going to help us understand the church's call to action when it comes to poverty and social issues. Pastor Chinyama Muribwanji.
Tiribuino Muribwanji, your moderator.
Tiribuino, thank you. I'm so happy that the network is holding, like I've been praying the whole morning.
Right.
Yeah, before we start, I'm going to ask you that. Can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let us pray together. King of kings and Lord of lords, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor this morning because you are worthy to be exalted. Thank you, Father, for uniting us in this manner. Thank you that we are able to talk about issues that surround our day-to-day lives. Now may you talk to us. Even as we interact, may we interact with your holy angels. Be with every listener, be with the moderator, be with the presenter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we're looking at issues of poverty and social issues, right? And we've seen quite a number of churches, you know, being involved, some distancing themselves when it comes to certain issues. Yeah. What biblical principles do we have that support the church's role in advocating for social justice?
All right. Great question. It is, first and foremost, we have to understand what this animal, this element, social justice is. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at it, primarily we understand that it is the view that everyone, you know, everyone deserves equal economic, political, and social rights and opportunities. And so as Christians, we understand that we live in a society composed of families, and these families are coming from the community. Mm-hmm. And so it should come to our realization, dear moderator and listeners, that once you choose to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, meaning you should know that practicing social justice is your Christian duty. So the fact that you're called a Christian, then it is a duty to practice this element. What about in the Old Testament? We can read from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Isaiah 1, 17. And the Bible there says, I hope I got the text right, but the Bible there says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the fatherless, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the cause for the widow. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Bible says. So already we realize that the word of comes to the prophet to say, take, give an ear, give a helping hand to the oppressed, take up the cause of he or she who has no father, and then plead the case for the widow. In other ways, pay attention to the vulnerable. So principle number one for a Christian, we understand that it's the duty of every Christian to practice ultimate social justice to anyone who is vulnerable, who is in need and who is troubled, because we live together in a society. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, we come to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Matthew 7, verse 12, where the Lord Christ himself is telling his followers and the listeners around him that moment to say, do unto others that which you desire to be done unto you. And we can only do stuff, you know, dear friends, if we are embraced with an element of the Spirit called love, you know. So the other biblical principle we have under social justice is love.
Yeah.
You know, let a Christian have love. Is not a noun, but love is a verb. If I remember well, our dear youths used it as one of the GYD slogans. Love is a verb. So being a Christian calls for action. not overreaction or elements of separation. So we need to be faithful. We need to be diligent in caring for others, just as we want to care for ourselves. I think that's a word I can put over there for the biblical principles.
Yes. So how can churches now, Mfundisi, you know, educate their congregations, you know, about pressing social issues? Sometimes, you know, when we don't have that education, we err while trying, you know, to support. So how does the church, you know, help us so that we do not err, but we do what is right?
All right. Here, the best we can do for our congregations in facing these pressing social issues, number one, we should enhance, call for many seminars as much as possible that primarily will give an educative biblical background on a Christian duty, you know, in line with social justice. Yeah, many other times we see posters flying around, "Oh, Pastor so and so, Pastor Shinyama will be preaching this side." It's the subject is what? Family life. The subject is prophecy. The subject is this and that. But we should also enhance moments where we call for a biblical seminar that will actually bring out the background on how a Christian should relate in terms of social justice. So the more we do that, the more we will have the education and know where this social justice is coming from. Are we just making it today on our own, or we are drawing and tapping from a biblical principle? The other way, again, we can enhance on educating the congregations is showing the congregants that true Christianity also involves outreach. Most of the times we practice inreach. No, the elder stands in front, the deacon stands, or the Dorcas leader stands and says, no, all those that have clothes that they are no longer using and this and that and some extra spare cash, please see us after the service so that we give the vulnerable. Yeah, that is good. That is enriched. But now we also have to go out there. The way we do it on the indoor circles,
yes,
we should also go, you know, behind our circles and identify. Even, you know, it's fascinating, dear moderator. Mm-hmm. You find that here's a beautiful church here, and where it's located, just opposite, there is some vulnerable family there.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
even pays attention there. Maybe because not even the smallest car parks outside their home, you know, we don't know. But no one pays attention to them. But so we should realize this. It's not only about enrich. No, let us enrich ourselves, yes, because we are the closest neighbors, but now let us also go a mile to the next person. Yeah.
And I'm
to educate each other.
Yeah, it's very true, Mpundisi, because some people, they don't even know, you know, that place where they're seeing a lot of people gathering on a Sabbath or a Sunday is a church. You know, they're like, people are just gathering there. Maybe they're part of a social group, you know, but it's not a church because we do not reach out to them. So how can we now, you know, these faith communities, Mpundisi, engage in activism, you know, while staying true to their values? Because the social issues can be more, and some of them you're like, it's not make sure, you know. But how do we do that and still staying true to our Christian values?
All right. You see, when a lion encroaches a territory where, or let's say the lion may be too vicious, let's see, when a bear goes to a territory where zebras are grazing, the zebras will be able to know that, but this one, the color may be similar to ours, but no, let us try to move away, because this person is a different person. See, so we as Christians, yeah, we know that we are called by this name of Christians because we have chosen Christ and we profess to believe in him and so on. So we should be able to mingle. We should interact. We should go out there, not keep to ourselves. We should evangelize. So, but even as we go out to evangelize, we should draw a line of separation between Christian principles that we carry and worldly activities. Take, for instance, there's a wedding. A friend of yours is having a wedding. When you go there, it's not only Adventists that will be at that wedding.
Yes.
There'll be other people from other congregations. So we should be able to engage and socialize with them. But as we are doing that, we should remember what our true identity is, so that those people will be able to see something unique. They should be that thing that they should not take note in us, to say, yeah, but we are all on one level ground, but there is something unique and spectacular about these people. So we should remain staying true to our will, our line of thought, and our belief, but we should be able to stand in and be the light, you know, to the world out there and to the dying world. We should care for them and not keep ourselves. I'd say, no, me, this is for me, each one for himself, and God for us all. No, God is for us all, meaning even what we have, what God gives us, is for everyone. So, yeah, we can socialize with them, but we can stay true to our line of thought and our belief. I think that is what I can add there.
Yeah. So, Mfundisi, how can churches now, you know, effectively address issues of race, issues of economic inequalities within their congregations? Fortunately, I might say that, you know, some churches are mixed race. You know, you find all the races in the church. Some churches are strictly white or black or Indian. And then when you walk in, you feel it. You feel it, you know, that I've stepped into, you understand. While others, the issues of economic inequality, you know, you can feel it. You mentioned that sometimes the small cars don't park in certain years. When you enter, all the cars are saying, hello, you know, we have arrived. The clothing and everything else. And you find that, you know, there are cliques maybe inside the church based on who owns what or who has what, you know. So how does the church now address such issues? If, for example, I walk into a white church, how does the church now address me not feeling weird, or people not treating me weird? Or if a white person steps into a black church, how then does the church address such things?
Okay. Awesome. And this one is actually a major one. So I think what we should understand here is let us leave issues, us as dear as Christians, believers, dear listeners out there, us as believers, let us not associate ourselves with these issues of racial, you know, color, tribe, and so on, lines of separation. Why? Because we are Bible-believing people, and we read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, say, God said, let us make man in our image, our likeness, you know, and all that, and let them have dominion. But then it is unfortunate if we who are created in the family of God, in the image of God, we tend to draw lines of separation to say, well, this one is black, this one is white, and by so doing, we will not even be able to engage with one another and realize what is lacking, what element is lacking in our neighbor, what element is lacking. Yeah, color is just color. And just on this one, since we are a family created in the image of God, and we know according to the Bible, don't we realize, or don't we click on our minds to say, we are pursuing one heavenly venue? When we all talk about, no, I also want to go to heaven, wouldn't you want to go to heaven? We are talking about one venue. The only difference there is it only has 12 gates, but all leading to the same hall, to the same chamber. And so once we realize that, well, color, you know, tribe, and you know, all these things are just there to show the workmanship of God, but all in all, the mechanism of humanity is one. So as the churches, we should actively, you know, address this issue of racial and economic inequalities, showing that we are one, regardless of color, whether somebody is as dark, so dark, such that you can just see their teeth when they smile. It doesn't matter. That's the image of God. Whether somebody is white, it doesn't matter. You know, that's God's working. And there's a reason why everyone was created the way they were created. So you find that even on this one, diseases, many diseases have come because people are trying to change their colors, thinking, okay, so the only people that are human beings are those with a lighter skin, and those of us with the dark skin, we are not human beings. So as churches, we should effectively address this issue by bringing out the biblical principle that says we are one in the image of God. Showing human separation is a denial of the image of God. So let us not deny the image of God.
So as we wrap up with this, Swami, do we have any examples of, you know, successful examples of churches that have made a difference in social justice initiatives?
Okay, so this one is a complex question, and it has its advantages and maybe a few disadvantages here and there. So we understand, first and foremost, in our circles, yes, there are churches that have been successful in making a difference in this social justice. Why? Like the, how? Like there are some churches that really I've seen, like recently we had an issue, an incident where one of the big leaders in Zambia was imprisoned, and many church leaders came on board and they showed sympathy and they realized to say, well, this incarceration, this imprisonment is not fair, and so on and so forth. So so those are some of the examples. As a church, we shouldn't just stay quiet, since we are one community, and the church is also made up of people that are in the society. So let us also step out and, where possible, strategically, in the spirit of God, bring peace, you know, be people that are fostering a spirit of forgiveness and showing the light. So, okay, here it should be in this way. Yes, this person may have wronged you, but the better way, don't you think, dear leader, is to do it like this and like that. So there are some churches that have shown that, and it's primarily a good thing. Just through that, many people that did not even believe in God and believe in forgiveness, they were won, and their souls were won to the church. So we can win members by showing them that indeed we are a team that is fair and that practices justice. Then the other example is there are some church communities that are good at community service. Their job is just to help out. A child is born, the mother dies, or the child is born, the father dies, they'll be able to bring that mother on board, take care of the child's education from start, from grade zero, until even until university, maybe until they marry and they're able to stand on their own. So that's a good thing. And by so doing, again, you see, it's another way of winning people to the body of Christ. So as a church, all, in summary, we should be able to make a difference by reaching out to everyone. Let us reach out to them, showing them this is the rightful way to do. Things should not be done in this way. Then give what we can give. And then when we present the word of God, it will be easy for them to just say, hey, I will follow the God you are following. And by so doing, we will be able to be winners.
Mpundisi, thank you so much for that. And I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer that whatever social justice we get involved in, we do it to the glory of the Lord.
All right, let us pray together. Father, Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this presentation that came before us. Lord, may you bless us and help us to be a people that will always strive to make a difference. Help us to be a light in the darkness. Help us to be a piece of diamond or gold in the sun. Help us, Lord, to be able to practice fairness and the equity and the justice that you brought until the time you died on the cross of Calvary. Even as the day continues to unfold, may you bless us in our endeavors. May you bless somebody out there who's listening, who is feeling discouraged. Lord, may you give them strength to pick it up again and realize that you are still in charge and in control. Bless us, Holy Lamb of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessed day too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.